Turning your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, and in your Schofield Bible, page 1301, page 1301. We'll be reading the first eight verses. We'll read the verses responsively. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 8. And may we stand, please. Stand for the reading of this passage. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. And let's pray. Father, it's certainly good to be here, but the fact that we just feel good about being here isn't enough reason to be here. We're here to hear your word. And now help that that purpose might not be lost through inattentiveness or drowsiness or any such thing. Help us to hang on to every word of the message and bless with great power our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, Father, we come to the preaching of thy word. May it be done in power, and may it be obvious that God is with us tonight. And may it be an easy service to get right with God, an easy time to be blessed and changed and transformed for our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. There's only one thing you can do to please God, that's all. Just one, and that's believe Him. That's all. There's no way, nothing. Now, God is happy if you love Him, but there's no endeavor that man can perform that can compare to the endeavor of believing God. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Impossible. Salvation. When you get saved, you can join the church if you want to, but that alone doesn't please God. You can trust the Holy Eucharist all you want to, but that doesn't please God. The only thing that pleases God concerning salvation is when you realize find out that Jesus came, lived, born a virgin, lived a sinless life, died in your place, was buried, rose again after 3 days and three nights, and you say, I'm a sinner, I'm going to hell, and Jesus went to hell for me, and I believe God will save me if I trust Him, and I believe that's the plan of salvation, and I trust it now, and nothing else will please God. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know, it's a wicked, vile thing when people say glibly, we don't believe the miracles of the Bible. You see, that just as believing God pleases Him, your not believing God infuriates Him. When you say, I don't believe the Bible, then you're saying, I don't believe God. When you're saying that that I don't believe the miracles of the Bible, you're saying I don't believe God. There's nothing that you can do that'll please God apart from faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, it's very interesting, and I doubt if many of you have ever noticed this, in the Hebrews 11. We have in this amazing, get your Bibles and look at Hebrews 11 for a minute, would you please? Hebrews 11, page 1301 in your Scopia Bible, and Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to notice verse number six. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Look down to verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now look at me for a minute. There are two types of people who have faith in God. There are those who believe that God will deliver, and God does deliver. Now listen carefully. There are those who believe that God will deliver, and God does not deliver. God doesn't want you to believe Him until He has failed to carry out your plan for His life. It's an amazing thing. We have a plan for God. We want God to follow. And the truth is, God has a plan for us we're supposed to follow. I said the other day, God doesn't owe you anything. If God just saved your soul from the fires of hell and kept you from burning in hell forever, that's all God ever owes you. I mean, brother, if God never feeds you a meal, He's still been mighty good to you. If God never puts a stitch of clothing on your back, you sure got a good deal, I'll guarantee you for sure. I mean, there's some. The truth is, every one of us deserve to go to hell. And God has made it possible so we don't have to go to hell. And I can't comprehend this thing. Almost every week I talk to somebody who's bitter against God. Boy, isn't that a sight. I mean, you deserve to go to hell and burn forever in the lake of fire. And God gave His only begotten Son, and His Son came to earth and lived and died and dipped His own soul into hell and suffered Calvary for you. And God the Father said goodbye to His Son, and His Son spent 33 homesick years away from heaven. And God made it so you don't have to go to hell and burn forever, but you can go to heaven and walk on golden streets and walk through gates of pearl and live with Christ and the saints forever. I mean, that's what God done for you. Now, if you don't think that's enough, you got a hole in your head. I'm bitter against God. He didn't give me enough food to eat. What? If all He did was see to it you go to heaven and escape the fires of hell, you sure found a good bargain there, I'll guarantee you for sure. No need to get bitter against God. But I want you to notice now, over here in verse number 33 of Hebrews, it lists some people here who had faith. Now, between verse 33 and 39, there are two different types of people. Look at it now. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. All right, look at me now. These are people who had faith that God would give the victory, and God did give the victory. Is that right? All right, notice again now. Wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Now, that's the Daniel in the lion's den, and no doubt others the same way. That's only a specimen or an example of stopping lions' mouths. David stopped one's mouth, too. He just broke his jaw and killed him. But now, this is somebody who faced opposition. They had faith, they delivered, and they were delivered. Look down to the next one. Quenched the violence of fire. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were cast in the fire furnace. They had faith to believe that God would deliver, and God did deliver. Look at me now. That means, once again, here's somebody that God did deliver. They were in trouble, and they prayed, and they had faith, and God delivered. That's good. Look on down again. Escaped the edge of the sword. Here are people that were facing, look at me now, here are people that are facing martyrdom, and the sword was pointed toward their neck or toward their breast or toward their head. And they believed, they had faith, and God delivered them. And look at what else it says now. Out of weakness were made strong.
waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Now look at me again. We have a listing here of people who were in trouble and had faith and God delivered. Now that's the easy way. I mean, both Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had the fire furnace and not a hair of their head were sinned. That's where you're in trouble and you believe God, you have faith, and God delivers you. But I want you to notice the next group of people. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, or not obtaining deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, more of bonds than imprisonment. Doesn't say anything here about being delivered from prison either. They were stoned. They were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Now look at me. Here's a group of people who were not delivered. They got in trouble and didn't get delivered. I heard a fellow say, "Boy, you take your stand for God, and I'll tell you what, boy, God will vindicate you." I'd like you to announce that to John the Baptist. You're not supposed to have faith until you see deliverance. Nor are you supposed to dictate to God the method or time of your deliverance. You're supposed to have faith in God if you die and never get delivered. You're supposed to have faith in God if you never get a job. You're supposed to have faith in God if you never eat another meal. You're supposed to have faith in God if the fires of martyrdom lap up at your neck and your life is taken as a martyr. You're still supposed to have faith in God. And I'll be honest with you. God's good whether He carries out your plan or not. And I'm a little weary. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little weary of people trying to tell God what to do or they'll get bitter. Now, the truth is, God intends for some people to get delivered to show His might. But I will tell you something. It shows the mighty power of God more when a person says, "I'll die for you," than a person says, "I'll get delivered for you." Now, if I want to please God, I've got to know what faith is. I want to say it again. That faith, the kind of faith I'm talking about, is the kind of faith that says God is good even if I don't get the victory. God is good, and I believe God if I do not get delivered from the mouth of the lion. God is good, and I believe God if I do not get delivered from the fire furnace. And if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been burned to death in the fire furnace, God is still good. And if Daniel had been defeated and destroyed by the lion's den, God is still good. Is God bad because John the Baptist is beheaded? Is God bad because people wandered in destitute circumstances? Is God bad because people in the Colosseum in Rome were fed to the hungry lions and lost their lives as they were martyred on the game field of the Colosseum? Well, of course not. These, it says, these God gave a better resurrection. They really got delivered. Let me ask you a question. Look at that. Here's a fellow facing the sword. And all of a sudden a miracle takes place and his life is spared. And he spends the rest of his life here on earth paying taxes, changing his baby's diaper, fussing with his wife, or fussing with her husband, and suffering through 90-degree weather with 100% humidity. And when that's gone, 20 inches of snow at 20 below zero. And now, that's good. Who got the best deal? The fellow who got delivered from the lion's den or the fellow who went to heaven with Jesus? Huh? Who got the best deal? I'm saying that we walk up to God and say, "Dear God, Lord, this is my will for your life. And we expect God to say, only to be what Jack wants me to be every moment of every day. We expect God to walk down the aisle, get on his knees, and surrender to our will for his life. Now let me tell you something, folks. God's good whether he fits your pattern or not. And God's good whether you have what kind of food you think or not. And God's good whether you live or die. And what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to say, I have faith in my God. If I'm delivered, I have faith to deliver me. If not, I have faith he has something better for me on the other side. Now what is faith? Faith is believing what God has done. Nobody can please God unless he believes what God has done. I was talking to some nut on the airplane years ago, and a PhD nut, and he said to me, he said, you mean you believe all the myths of the Bible? And I shocked the fire out of him. I said, you better know I do. He said, aren't you a fundamentalist? I said, yes, sir. He said, and you believe all the myths of the Bible? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, how can you be a fundamentalist and believe the myth of the Bible? I said, I believe every myth in the Bible because there's no myth in the Bible. He said, you mean you believe the little thing about the drying of the Red Sea? Yes, sir, I believe it. And if God had said he dried the Pacific Ocean and the Chinese walked over, I'd believe that. He said, you mean you believe that thing about the axe head swimming on the top of the water? And I said, yes, sir, I believe the axe head did swim. And if the Bible had said the axe head got up out of the water and got on the diving board and did a double twist, I'd believe that too. And then if the Bible had said the axe head got up and got a rope, hung on the back end of a boat, went water skiing, I'd believe that too. Now you listen to me. You listen to me. Mr. Carter, who said, I believe the Bible. But don't believe that in 2 Peter about the women. Now listen, once you crack the armor of this book, brother, then you have opened every verse in this book to possibly being wrong. Faith is believing what God has done. Somebody, he said, well, you don't believe that the sun stood still, do you? I said, yes, sir, I believe the sun stood still. And if the Bible had said that the sun became cheese and the stars became crackers, and the ocean became Kool-Aid, and Goliath drank it, I'd have believed every word the Bible has to say. If I doubted one of the miracles of this book, I would crack the armor of the Bible and be led to doubt other things. Now, you hear me. This country didn't all of a sudden start hating this book, and this country hates this book. University of Indiana hates that book. University of Illinois hates that book. Purdue Extension hates that book. And bless God, I know you want to trot your little carcass over there and go to some heathen school that hates your God and hates this Bible and hates your Christ. You go ahead. But I'm not going to do it, I'll guarantee you. No way. No way. Just no way. Now, the truth is, universities hate this book. Now, America didn't wake up one day and say we hate the book. The first step toward rejecting this book was not believing the miracles of this book. And once you say, I don't believe the miracles of the book. I don't believe in a literal translation or interpretation of the Bible. Once you do that, then you have started something that can continue. You started doubting a part of the Bible. Now, you start doubting the miracles. And you end doubting the teaching. So when we taught our children that the miracles weren't true, we opened the possibility. That, by the way, that's where the ERA started. It's not. Listen, ERAers, that crowd, they hate the Bible. I said they hate the Bible. They hate the Bible. And the liberals, they hate the Bible. Brother, listen. Over here you have fundamentalism and conservatism. Listen to me, young people. Over here you have fundamentalism. Over here you have communism. And I'll bind you one thing, brother. One, every step you take from there to there, that step is farther away from believing the Bible. The Talmudists hate the Bible. They burn the Bible. It's against the law to go to Sunday school and have a Sunday school and print Bibles and print Sunday school literature in Russia. So, the more you get toward that socialistic and communistic mess, the more you're going to disbelieve the Bible. These ERA husses down here having their now meeting. And I call it NOH, National Organization of Husses. It's the Bible they hate. It's the Bible they hate. The anti-capitalist. Let me. This is not in the sermon, but let me just reason for that. Let's suppose now for a minute. Let's suppose that the liberals open the Bible and they're reading the Bible, and let's suppose this is what they read. Now follow me carefully. Wherefore, the Lord created a one-cell creature, and that one-cell creature hitherto became a little blob. And that little blob had a wart on it. This little protoplasm had a wart on it. And in the process of days, in the ending of time, that little wart became infected. And so the little protoplasm began to walk on that little, move on that little wart, stick that little wart out there and put himself like that. And then in the process of time, the Lord God grew another wart on that little protoplasm. That protoplasm now had two warts, and they're on the bottom side. And now he's got two little warts that he gets out and digs in the sand and moves a little bit and digs that wart in the sand, and both those warts became infected. And in the process of time, God allowed those warts to get real infected, and they became legs. Now, it came to pass, we're reading the Bible now, we're liberals reading the Bible. It came to pass that there was a freckle on the other end of that wart. And that freckle, as God would have it, became infected and became an eye. You know, I've always wondered what would have happened if the freckle got on the wart. You'd have to walk, lay down and hold your feet up to see. And in the process of time, it came to pass that another freckle came. And that freckle was right beside the first freckle. And then because the first freckle and the second freckle got infected, man was given eyes by God. Now, I'm the University of Indiana a professor reading the Bible. And suppose I read that in the Bible, or he read it in the Bible. And it said that then man grew arms and legs, and man was walked on all fours as an ape. But as God would have it, it came to pass that the male apes were hairy and the female apes were not hairy. And it came to pass that the women liked the apes that had less hair than the apes that had more hair. And God, in His wisdom, it came to pass that God, in His wisdom, gave the ladies the desire for the less hairy men. Because of that, it came to pass that men had less hair and less hair, and then men started walking upright, and now we have man. Now, if that were in the Bible, and some professor at University, Purdue University, were reading that, he'd say, "But actually, that is so silly." If God had said it, then I thought it's the most ridiculous possibility in the whole world. But I just taught you what Mr. Darwin said. Now, the reason they believe Darwin is not because they believe Darwin. They will not take the Bible, and they want the opposite thing of the Word of God. Now, if the Bible had come out with evolution, they would have thought it was the silliest thing in the world. Why? Because it's God they hate. It's God they're against. Now, faith is believing what God has said. Now, you say, "Preacher, how can I always believe that?" Hang around folks that do. Hang around folks that do. You won't believe it very long if you're down in some wicked heathen university. Now, by the way, you won't change my preaching. I don't care if you, your daughter, your son, your son-in-law, your daughter-in-law, your first cousin, second cousin, third cousin, fourth cousin, fifth cousin, your mother-in-law, and your father-in-law, and your great-uncle, and your great-aunt, your grandpa and your grandma and your grandkids and your grandchildren and your granddaughter and your grandson. I don't care if all of you go to heathen schools. I'm still going to preach you all to go to Christian schools. You're not going to believe this book if you hang around folks that don't. I know. For 1 year, I went to a state university, and they shook me to my down to my foundation of my faith. And had it not been for a godly mother and what my mother taught me in 1 year, if I'd have gone one more semester, I'd lost my faith in this book. Faith is believing what God has done. Now, faith is secondly believing that God can do it again. Faith is believing that all the promises for the other dispensations are for this dispensation. Faith is believing that the 3,200 promises in the Bible are for today. Faith is believing that the miracles are for today. I don't have much patience with this Christianity that says that all the miracles have been done away with. Jesus performed miracles to prove he was the Son of God. That's not true. Jesus performed miracles because he had compassion on people that were in trouble. One night I preached on miracles in this pulpit. Sitting right over there in that section was a young student of Moody Bible. I didn't know this. I made a statement that night that God is going to perform a miracle in this service tonight, and I know it. Now, hold it. I'm not charismatic. I don't have one drop of charismatic blood in my veins. I won't even preach in a charismatic church. No way. I was invited to preach at the National Assembly of God Convention of Great Britain. All the British Empire. Not me. I'm not charismatic. I haven't gotten the use for charismatic movement. But I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that Baptist preachers were having miracles performed 1,800 years before there ever was a charismatic preacher. And I said that night, God's going to do something miraculous in this room. I got a letter the next week. young lady, Moody Bible Institute student. She said, I was sitting somewhere over here. She said, I have an eye. The nerves have been dead for years. No way could ever see. And she said, while you preached that night on miracles, she said, though that dead eye, then no nerves dead for years, she said, all of a sudden, I began to see out of that eye. Don't tell me miracles are not for this age. Many of you were down at the Civic Center while we were building this building right here. And you remember that Sunday morning when that 56-year-old man had been blind for years, dozens of years. Our blind department, all of a sudden, in that Civic Center, jumped up and began to shout, I can see! I can see! I can see! And all of a sudden, that blind man began to see. He ran down the aisle, and you folks that were there, remember what he said? On the platform he ran, he hugged me. He said, Reverend, preacher, back there, during the prayer, I had my head bowed, and all of a sudden, I could see my shoes. He said, I could see my shoes! I could see my shoes! He ran up on the platform. He hugged me and danced around on that platform and looked at me and he said, you're not near as good looking as I thought you'd be. I said, go blind. Now, I have no healing line. If you get a rumor out that Hiles is young charismatic, then you're spreading dirty rumor and dirty lies. I'm not. But I want to tell you something, brother. I want to tell you something. I know too many cancers have been healed. I preached a sermon on miracles, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. A lady had asked me to pray about something on the first night of the meeting. She said, Dr. Howell, I can't afford new contacts. And I lost one of my contacts. Now, she said, it's either at home, in the car, in the yard where I mowed the yard, or she said it's at the grocery store, or at church, or between home and church, or between home and grocery store and the grocery store and church. Well, I said, well, that's easy. We'll find it. No problem. Little contact. I preached that night on miracles. She had a son that came forward to kneel at the altar. That church had a shag carpet. I mean carpet like that. Shag carpet. And it had been lost for a week. Well, they'd vacuum that carpet again and again and again. And her son came and knelt at the altar. And I said, God's going to do a miracle here. I didn't know what. and their son looked down right where he was healing at the altar, and there was the contact. Miracle. Miracle. I'm saying that faith is believing what God has done. Faith is believing that God can do it again. Number three, faith is believing that God will do it again. I believe that God will do what he always did. I believe that God can come to a boarded up downtown section of a city like this and build the biggest church in the world. I believe God can provide during a recession. I believe that God can provide for his own. I believe that God can build a college without government dollars. And don't talk to me about miracles. I am one. Jack DeCosta went with me down to Texas Monday and Tuesday. He asked me Tuesday if I'd drive him over to my neighborhood where I grew up. Just a ghetto, poor, very poor, poverty-stricken area was then. I took him to the little hill out on Ann Arbor Street. And I said, right back there used to be a little shack of a house where Mom and Earlene and I lived together. Outhouse in the backyard. I drove to the 1600 block of Garza Street. And I said, Jack, I remember my mother starting at that house right there and walking up one side of that street and down the other side begging for a quarter so she could buy her boy something to eat and promising people that she'd talk to she would not eat any of the food herself. She's not begging for herself. She's begging for her boy. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me about there not being a God of miracles. Don't talk to me. Faith is believing that God has done. Faith is believing that God can do it again. Faith is believing that God will do it again. And number four, faith is believing that God... Now follow me carefully. Faith is believing that God will do it again even if he isn't doing it again. Let me tell you what faith is. This is sweet. Please don't misunderstand me. One of the sweetest men in this church, one of the dearest, sweetest, finest, soul-winning men I've ever known, tonight is in he's senile. Tonight, he's not far from here. Many of us know him. One of the finest soul winners I ever knew in my life. He started having, I guess, hardened the arteries around his brain. And so, first thing, God was going to, I was going to die, and he was going to take over the church. That's what he thought. He came to see me. He said, God told me that you're going to die, and I'm going to take over the church. And I said, buddy, if that happens, I'm getting the long end of the stick, I guarantee you. He said, yes, sir. And he kept on. Now, he's now hospitalized because of his senility. But you can go talk to him right now. And he'll say, I'm taking over First Baptist. He still got his hope. Still got his faith. He said the other day, he said, I'm taking over for long. He said, but I'm not going to counsel like Howes does. I'm going to let Ray Young do all the counseling, he said. Well, if that's the case, this church would be in a mess. But, I'm not saying that's exactly what this means, but I like a guy that, even though it's not happening, believes it's going to happen. Faith is believing what God has done. Faith is believing that God can do it again. Faith is believing that God will do it again. Faith is a Lester Roloff on the radio station one morning. I'll never forget it. He was a young man. I was driving down the street listening to the Family Altar broadcast. It's on one station, and that's all. KWBU, Corpus Christi. KWBU was owned by the Texas Baptist Convention of the Southern Baptists. And they also owned a store building that they leased, I hear, to a liquor store. Well, Lester gets on his broadcast on KWBU, owned by Texas Baptist, and exposes them for leasing a building that Texas Baptist owned to a liquor store. And you know the Texas Baptist Convention didn't take to that very well. And they put him off the air. Big 50,000 watt station, only station is on those days. And I can still hear him now. Well, he said, folks, he said, this is the last day. He said, God is able. He said, it's pretty dark. He said, the truth is, I don't know what I am. He said, the Baptists say I got too much for them. Pentecostals say I haven't got enough for them. I don't know where I am. He said, all I got's God. And then he started singing. Well, they came and they were blessed. And he gave that old weary rest, and he made the blinded eyes to see, and he fed the hungry soul. And he starts singing, not that well, but best he could. And they put him off the air. But he kept on. I was there when he signed the contract, when the station went under, and he owned KWBU himself. Faith is a Dr. Ford Porter when he's 85, 80 years old. Able to walk about this fast. Take me down to Indianapolis, Indiana, and saying, Dr. Howes, I want to show you our future. Took me out there on that big freeway that bypass where the airport is, not far south of the airport. And he said, now, with a hound, he said, this is our ground. We're moving out here. He said the big church auditorium is there, will be there, and the college will be here, and the high school and the grade school will be over here. Now, I knew it never would be. I knew Dr. Porter wouldn't live long, but he didn't know. And even though if he did know, he somehow had faith to believe that God was still going to do it. Listen to me, folks. Faith is believing that if God isn't doing it, God's still going to do it. Faith is on one's deathbed, and God hasn't done it, saying, God will do it. God will do it. God will do it. And lastly, faith is not only believing what God has done, believing that God can do it again, believing that God will do it again, believing that God will do it even if God isn't doing it. Faith is believing that when God doesn't, it's best. Job said, as he saw 10 graves over the 10 bodies of his children, all his children gone, his health is gone, he sits in the city dump, in the ash heap, he has a piece of metal much like a knife, it's called a potsherd, his body is full of running sores. Pardon me for saying it, but pus coming out of those sores, running all over his body. He takes a potsherd or a piece of metal and he scrapes the corruption that runs from those sores. As he sets in the fire, the coals of the city dump, the fine relief from the pain of his awful disease. His house is gone. All of his wealth is gone. His camels destroyed. His sheep destroyed, his donkeys destroyed, his oxen destroyed. His wife came and said, won't you curse God and die? Now she's gone. The richest man in all the East is now the poorest man in all the East. The healthiest man in all the East is now the sickliest man in all the East. The most blessed man in all the East is now, humanly speaking, the most cursed man in all the East. And then Job's friends come and they say in so many words, if you'd lived right, this wouldn't have happened to you, buddy. You've sure been doing a heap of sinning. And old Job, in the darkest hour of his life, humanly speaking, he lifts himself with his hands and shouts, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's faith. That's faith. I'm not sure I believe this, or I'd do this, but I think I would. I think I would. I believe if God starved me, I'd still preach. I believe if I had to sleep beneath the stars, had no place to lay my head, I believe I'd still preach. I believe this church fired me. Now, I'm not saying this is true because I don't know for sure. I would not know unless tested, but I believe it. I believe I'd go out to O'Hare Field, stand out there and preach on the airport. Or maybe I'd go down to State Street in Chicago, stand on the street corner and preach. Somebody said, if God doesn't feed me, I won't quit preaching. I said, God's not going to get rid of me that easy. No way. He stuck with me. And God's good whether he closed the lion's mouths or not. And God was just as good to John the Baptist as he was to Daniel. Daniel got delivered. John the Baptist obtained a better resurrection, the Bible says. I'll tell you something, folks. You just put your faith. You put your faith in God. I remember Dr. Rice telling the story. I probably shouldn't get off on this. I don't know it too well. But there was a preacher up at the First Baptist Church of Waterloo, Iowa. I'm trying to think of his name, but I can't. Years ago. Dr. Rice went to preach a meeting up there, and then he had this pastor, a young pastor, oh, I guess 30 years old, come down to preach a meeting with him in Texas. And Dr. Rice was pastoring the Galilean Baptist Church. They finished the meeting on a Sunday night. He and his wife left to drive back to Waterloo, Iowa. Up around Denton, Texas, somewhere Denton. Dr. Rice had a wreck. As the call came, Dr. Rice said, come quickly. Said the pastor and his wife that just closed the meeting for you had been a serious accident. Come quickly. Dr. Rice got in his car and drove to the hospital. He got there. The pastor was dead. His wife was very ill. But God raised her up, though she was injured seriously. And they had the funeral service for her husband. Dr. Rice talked to her. How do you feel? And she said, when I went to Moody Bible Institute, she said, I was a nobody. And she said, my husband was one of the most popular men and best-looking boys on campus. And I couldn't believe he'd ever asked me for a date, she said. And she said, one day he did. And I got to praying, Lord, yeah, you going to give him to me? And the Lord did. And she said, I told the Lord, we got married, said, Lord, I'm a nobody. And the most popular person on campus and the outstanding young preacher on campus loves me. Said, Lord, all I ask is just give me one happy year. That's all I ask. That's more than I deserve. Give me one happy year with him. That's all I ask you for. He said, Dr. Ryan, God gave us 7 happy years together. I can't be bitter to God. At the funeral service, had a little chapel here, a little side room over here, and there she sat in a wheelchair, and there was her husband's body in the casket. Dr. Rice tells the story. And some ladies stood to sing, God's way is the best way. And the beautiful alto voice sitting in her wheelchair, the new widow, just a young lady, began to sing in a beautiful alto voice, God's way is the best way. God's way is the best way. And God's way is the best way. It may not be your way. It may be that that you may have to pray and pray and pray and pray, and it just may be that what you want will never come. But brother, God's good no matter what happens. I'm not discounting prayer. But it may be that God will answer that prayer. You know, suppose you got cancer. Ask God to heal you. And suppose that the way God chooses to do it is for you to get here, roll off preach tomorrow night in the glory land. Or suppose that God chooses to let you let Dr. Rice teach you verse by verse through Romans starting tomorrow night in the glory land. That would be so bad. That's healing. That's healing. Or suppose that God healed you by letting you see Jesus tomorrow night. What am I saying? I'm saying that some of these people in Hebrews were delivered and some were not. They obtained a better resurrection. But the honest truth is, they all lived by faith. Now, what's the purpose of the message? The purpose of the message is this. Some of you have been doubting your God. Because he hadn't worked things out according to your plan. And you've been doubting him. And that displeases him. When you come and say, dear God, you're a good God, and I love you, and I believe you, and I have faith in you. I don't care what happens. Go, he slay me. Yes. Well, I tried to. That, ladies and gentlemen, is faith. And that sure does please God. Nobody in America preaches more than I do. Nobody. Nobody covers this country more than I do. And nobody works any harder when he's here than I do. I've taken a little bottle of olive oil. I know 100 times I put it right here. And I said, dear God, it just looks like to me if I had a better voice. It just looks like to me I could serve you better. And there are times I get mighty embarrassed about it. There are times when young people in the service say, I'm a little worse than usual. That haven't heard me, they'll laugh and snicker if I'm somewhere strange. And sometimes, having a little trouble, I'll close my eyes and preach a while so I can't see the people as they wonder what's wrong. But that's not right. I'm saved. My name's written in heaven. God's my Father. Holy Spirit lives inside this body. I'm on my way to glory. Jesus is my Savior. Bible's my book. A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a mansion for me over there. It won't matter in a few years. What kind of voice you have, or whether or not you got the job you think you ought to get. You just keep on singing, God's way is the best way. And you believe him. You believe him. Yes, I close. Just have a little sermon I pray with some. Don't preach it much anymore. Have been years. Little chapter in my book on strength and beauty, I think it's in there a little bit. It's called Here, Hereafter, and Afterwards. You know, there's some things that we know why God does it here, right now. It's easy. We know. But there's some things we won't know hereafter. We get old. My mama used to say to me, son, I can still hear you come straight home crooked. And I don't understand. I understood that. I never understood. What's wrong with coming crooked home school? She said, you come straight home. We had a guy in our neighborhood named Basil Cook. He was the kind of guy all we guys hated. He was a gentleman. He was perfect. He walked home school like this. And my mama used to say, son, I want you to be like Basil Cook. You come straight home school. I understand it. But you know, when our kids got in school, you know what the old man said? You come straight home to understand it now. But there's some things the Bible says I'm standing here, and some things hereafter, but there's some things we won't understand till afterwards. That's after this life is over. I think one of the sweetest things about heaven is going to be finding out why. Why? Why? And I think that. Gather around. Gather around. And I think I'm going to say, Lord, why did this happen? And the Lord's going to tell us, and we're going to say, nice. That makes sense. These guys on the platform. Sometimes we're talking about something, and I'll say, now this is the way to do it. And one of them will say, good night, man. How do you think it's such a good idea? And I always say, that's why my name's up at the top. And I think with the Lord, how about so-and-so? And the Lord's going to tell us, and we're going to say, good night, you're so smart. I think we'll laugh and clap our hands and say, sure, why didn't I? Tell you why you didn't see it, because you're human. But he said, what am I supposed to do till I see it? Believe. Just believe.